Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. It's so good to have you join me today. Whether you're in bed or whether you're getting home from work or whatever is happening, God is there with you. And thank you so much for joining me. Because of God's love in your life, you can welcome the years with arms wide open and love life with a kind of passion that comes straight from Him. We have passion about a lot of things, but I'll tell you the greatest passion of all is to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I was talking about that in yesterday's program. Oh, and you can go to freedomstreet.org. Click under resources. The title resources is radio shows. And you can go there and listen to any radio show. They're all titled. And so go to the date that you're listening and you want to listen to it again. That's a really good way of going to. Or you can go to KLTT, 670KLTT.com, and you can listen on the radio app. There, and you can listen to my programs. You can also go to Spotify and type in Freedom ST Radio. Freedom ST Radio, one word, lowercase, and that will get you to our program. And I know for some of you it's a change. It's a change for me. I want you to know that I'm asking God to work a divine and a perfect work in you, because He promised that in the New Testament. So you can go to freedomstreet.org, and if you want to email us, it's Barbara@freedomstreet.org and Kimberly@freedomstreet.org. And you can find us that way too. Our monthly fellowship takes place this Saturday, June the 13th, with brunch at 9:30 and the meeting at 11 o'clock. So we're going to have brunch together and then the meeting at 11 o'clock. And we'll be singing some patriotic songs in honor of the United States and the 250th birthday, and along with a Bible study. I think you'll really enjoy the Bible study. And please make reservations for the restaurant by calling 1-877-917-7256. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. I hope you can come. If you would like to come and you've never come, just leave a message at the end of this broadcast, and you can call me at 1-877-917-7256 and give me your name and address, and I'll call you back. I will call you back. Memory verse for this week is taken from 2 Timothy 2:15, and that's the last book before Paul, the Apostle Paul, was beheaded. So that book is really dramatic for me to read when I do read it. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of God. And in the Living Translation, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. And oh, so often I thank Holy Spirit that He is the word of truth. He is absolutely word of truth. And He is. He tells me the truth all the time. I don't have to think, oh, well, that was a lie. In fact, if you do think that's a lie, then that's from the enemy. That's one thought you can cast down. Yes. And take everything captive to the obedience of Christ. That's so good. And you can find that scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Yes, I had to think of that for a moment. Yesterday, I was talking to you about getting out of the old and into the new. And I was talking to you about before the cross, the message was, thou shalt not. And now, because of God's mercy and grace, it's, I will. I will work in you. It is a pleasure. I will be delighted in you. See, the Old Testament covenant, God did not allow people to come near Him. And only a select few, but not for the general public. And God was off limits. And so we know that that's the Old Testament. New Testament, He wants to have such a great relationship with you. He really does. He's in you, and he wants you to be alive in him. I'm so blessed that God has given me the opportunity to grow to the point where I can talk to him all the time, and I do. And we were talking about the performance or dutiful obedience in the Old Covenant has now come to a believing, a knowing, a sense that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's our Savior and our Lord, that he forgives sins. So in the New Testament, it's believing. It's believing. If you can read it in Romans 4, Abraham believed God. And so we see here that we cannot do anything on our own. We cannot take credit for anything, folks. Jesus did it all. He paid it all. It is finished. When he said it is finished, it was finished. And so Paul gave a very clear example of the difference between the old and new covenants in Galatians 4:21. Have you forgotten that Abraham had two sons? One by the slave girl, Hagar, and the other by the free woman. Ishmael, the son of the slave girl, was born of the natural realm. That's like when we are born into the physical here. But Isaac, the son of the free woman, was born supernaturally by the Spirit, a child of the promise of God. These two women and their sons express an allegory. So these two women and their sons express an allegory and become symbols of two covenants. I'm reading from Galatians 4. For Hagar represents the law given at Mount Sinai in Arabia. The Hagar metaphor corresponds to the earthly Jerusalem of today who are currently in bondage, or those people that don't know Jesus Christ. They are in bondage. In contrast, there's a heavenly Jerusalem above us, which is our true mother. And he's talking symbolically. This is a metaphor. So we are the Jerusalem. He's talking about the Jerusalem, the heavenly one. We will be living with him forever and ever. She is a free woman birthing children into freedom. Dear friends, just like Isaac, we're now the true children who inherit the new covenant kingdom promises. And just as the son of the natural world at that time harassed the son born of the power of the Holy Spirit, so it is today. And you remember, as you read in Genesis, that Ishmael was taunting Isaac and teasing Isaac until Abraham sent him away, or it was Sarah that really sent her away. He said, well, do to her as you want. And she sent her away into the desert. So we see that the child born of the flesh was harassing the child that was from the true Jerusalem. And it's like, I'm in verse 30 of Galatians 4. And what does the scripture tell us to do? Expel the slave mother with her son, of the true heirs. For the true heir of the promises is the son of the free woman. In Jesus Christ, we're not the children of the slave woman any longer. Remember, in Jesus Christ, no longer, we're the supernatural sons and daughters of the free woman, sons and daughters of grace, my friend. Every believer in Jesus has a position in the body of Christ. They are cleansed and filled with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus has become to them wisdom from God, redemption, righteousness, and sanctification. Now you say, man, those are big words. No, they're not. Redemption. What's the root word? Redemption. It's redeemed. And say, for instance, this is a ransom situation, that you have been kidnapped by an enemy. And so along comes someone who is going to pay for the ransom. And that someone was Jesus Christ. And he came and said, I will die for all of them. I will die for the sin of the world. And so he paid the price on the cross. That was the ransom for us. And that's the redemption. That's the meaning of redemption. So we know that it's redemption. Righteousness, what does that mean? Righteousness is just simply right standing with God. Right standing with God. And sanctification is an ongoing process of maturity. You're being sanctified. It's a process. Oh, you believe and Holy Spirit will do the rest. That's right. You believe and Holy Spirit will do the rest. All of this in Jesus is because of grace. The unmerited, you don't deserve it, abounding provision in the unrestricted, unrestrained ability of God at work in your life. That means there are no limits what God can do in your life. No limits unless you put on the limits, unless you put on the brakes. Then God is held according to what you believe. So we want to believe with all faith that's been given to us by Jesus that the unmerited, abounding provision, an ability of God is at work in your life. I'm believing that for you. Through Jesus Christ, for grace you have been saved through faith, and that is the merciful and loving gift of God your Father. Your position, in Jesus is righteousness and holiness. Your earthly actions are a journey of maturing and entering into the sanctification process. Spiritually, you are set apart for God's use. You are daily experiencing, surrendering to Him all the human behaviors and laying them at the feet of Jesus. Paul talks about being crucified with Christ and taking up your cross and following Jesus. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete and perfect that work in you as you follow Him. Oh, give Holy Spirit access to change you and fill you with His all-encompassing love, joy, and peace in everything you do. It's not too hard. It's not. Just believe. Just believe. He's at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Yesterday, I was talking to you about grace before and after the cross, and I was just explaining a little bit more with the old patch on the new patch on the old cloth and the old wine skin and the new wine. So we are seeing metaphors here of our condition and the conditions that we have when we go from Old Testament to New Testament, before the cross and after the cross. And this grace is what we're talking about. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when He came, He explained, and the Word explained, and John explained that Jesus came full of grace and truth. For grace you have been saved through faith, and that is the merciful and loving gift of God your Father, Ephesians 2, verse 8. And we could take a few weeks on that subject, but I'm going to do something different here. I'm going to give some amazing spiritual gifts of being a believer. Now you believe. Now what happens? Some of you don't know your inheritance in Christ. You've just been plodding along trying to make it through the day or make it through the month by paying all the bills. Oh, God wants you enjoying so much more. And here Paul explains it so well in Ephesians 1. And this is from the New Living Translation. Oh, I enjoyed this so much. Different translations have some really wonderful things to add and describe and clear up and explain things to you. So I hope you've got three or four different translations either on your phone or before you, because it's so important. Paul explains here in Ephesians 1, I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Did you hear that? May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So here are some spiritual blessings from Ephesians 1. Verse 3, we've heard this verse a lot if you've been in church. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. That's not because our failures is perfect. No. Our behavior is not perfect. Our behavior is not perfect, and we fail at things. We really do. But see, that's not what He's saying. He's seeing us as holy. He's seeing us in right standing. That's that righteousness from 1 Corinthians 1:30. And He sees us as ransomed from the enemy. Hallelujah. And in that sanctifying process. And He sees us, and we are united with Him, and He sees no fault in us. He does not have any conditions for us to meet except believing in Jesus. So God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Him through Jesus Christ. Every believer is adopted into God's family. You're no longer alone, but now have a big brother, Jesus, to protect you. And here it is where he's talking about us being joint heirs. Romans 8 verse 17 tells us that we're his joint heirs with Jesus. And you did not receive the spirit of slavery, that's religion, slavery, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full adoption, acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, Abba, or beloved Father. That's what we say, beloved Father. Oh, dear Father, that's who he is, our Father who art in heaven. What is he talking about? Who is he talking about? God up in heaven. You are God's beloved child. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. So that wonderful scripture in Philippians 3:10 is true, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And that suffering doesn't mean in a physical suffering, but the persecution, he said, that we would have because we believe in him is going to be sometimes violent and sometimes really scary. But we do not fear. No, God is here and we do not fear. Now, that was in Romans 8, verse 17, that we're joint heirs with Jesus. So we share everything that he has and everything that he is. Now, getting back to Ephesians 1, verse 5, this is what he wanted to do. This is what God wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. This gives God great pleasure to work in you. It gives him great pleasure. Yes, it does. Don't feel unwanted ever again. Cast that devilish thought out of your mind and concentrate on what God thinks about you. He finds great pleasure in seeing you thrive. Yes, not just survive. Some of you I'm talking to, you really are. You just feel like you're just surviving from month to month to month. But no, we're going to get into this mode of thriving through the Word of God and through reading about how God feels about us. So verse 6 in Ephesians 1 said, so we praise God for his glorious grace, that unmerited abounding provision from the ability of God that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He is so rich, friend, in kindness and grace that he's given us wisdom and understanding to know what to do when we don't know what to do. Are there times you get into a situation, I do not know what to do? Don't be afraid to say that. Holy Spirit, I do not know what to do. And he will give you the wisdom and understanding. He promised that. Wisdom, you are my sister, and understanding, you're my intimate friend, from Proverbs 7, verse 4. So God shapes that rhema word in you, and that's that vital message from him, from Holy Spirit. In verse 8 of Ephesians 1, he has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. God had a good plan for you from the very beginning. He did. And if you need some more support, some more encouragement, go to Psalm 139. Oh, friend, he made you divinely and perfect in every way. Don't look at your physical body. Don't. You will always find something wrong. But look at the spiritual body that he's given to you. Verse 10, and this is the plan. This is the plan. Okay. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. See, God made Jesus judge, and he will judge when he is seated on his throne in Jerusalem, judging all the nations of the world. Oh, what a day. You think that the NBA playoffs and the finals here going on are going to be they're the highlight? No. Oh, he's going to make everything right, and he's going to be sitting in his throne in Jerusalem. See, he makes everything right. He chose us in advance. Here it says in verse 11, Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. When you hear me say inheritance, or when you think of inheritance, do you think of money? Most people do. Don't be seduced by a spirit of mammon. That's a spirit of the lust for riches. When you hear the word inheritance, don't be seduced by that spirit. Inheritance is not only the blessings of God in the physical realm, but the glory and abundance of love, joy, peace, and provision of God in the spiritual realm. Verse 12 of Ephesians 1, and in the New American Standard, it's continually in Christ, in him, in Christ, in Jesus Christ. And it's so wonderful to know that he took it all. Oh, all we have to do is believe. I know it seems, well, that's impossible. I got to do something. No, you don't. Jesus did it all. When he said it's finished, it's finished. Verse 12 of Ephesians 1, God's purpose was that we Jews, now remember, Paul is a Jew, that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee. Guarantee. Don't you like guarantees? I guarantee this for, you know, this product will work for 90 days, and if not, return it and you'll receive all you put into it. So here, Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. That's it. Why were you created? To praise and glorify God. Oh, that's so good. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus, and this is Paul again speaking in writing, and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight that you might grow in your knowledge of God. That's what he's desiring for you. So beautiful. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Now, I have recommended verse 18 of Ephesians 1. That's Ephesians 1, verse 18, to many people who ask me for prayer for their loved one. And to help them in agreement, I say, I want you to pray this prayer, that the eyes of their heart, your loved one who's away from God, the eyes of their heart, that's their spirit, would be enlightened so that they may know what is the hope of his calling. That's all you have to, you write it down on a little index card or something. And every day when you think of that loved one, say that prayer. I pray that Roy's eyes will be enlightened so that he may know the hope of his calling in his life, or Elizabeth, or whoever it is. I pray that the eyes of their heart will be enlightened so that they may know what is the hope of the calling in their hearts. And this is a great prayer for you to pray for those you love who are distant from God. Also, I pray, and this is verse 19 of Ephesians 1, and we've been talking about Ephesians 1, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. See, we're setting our eyes on things above and not on things of the earth, because we find that in 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 16 or 17, that the things that you see with your physical eyes, they're temporary. They're not going to last. But the things that you see with your spiritual eyes that you're learning from the Rhema, from the Word of God, those are things that are going to last. So now he's at the right hand in the heavenly realm with God the Father. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things, this is Jesus, this is his authority. And remember, he said he's given us his authority. Well, we can glean from that and lean on that, especially in Luke 10:19. It says that he has given us all authority over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm us. Nothing. He has given us all authority over the power of the enemy. So you can cast that enemy down every time you feel harassed. And there are many times I feel harassed, friend, and I've got to cast it down. Now, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. We are members of his church. We are members of his body. He is the head, and we are members of his church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Oh, when you think of yourself in God's presence, how do you feel? You should be so comfortable and so free with him. It's just like the song that I sang yesterday. I can run in the path of his command, for he has set my spirit free. Oh, and if you'd like a CD of that, I can send that to you. You can call me at 1-877-917-7256 or email me at barbara@freedomstreet.org, and I'll send you a CD. Yep, I even pay for postage. Isn't that great? So you can find that in setting your spirit free by accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, wow, it just relieves you of all the burdens, every burden that you thought you had. That's why we used that wonderful verse last week in Psalm 55, verse 22, casting all your burdens on him. Oh, he cares for you, and he's willing to take all your burdens. So we're going to go out of this program feeling free, letting everything go. Just let your hands go out and release everything in your life that has been a burden for you and probably given you some worry and maybe some headaches. Well, in Jesus' name, I say those headaches are gone, because now you are free in Jesus Christ. Oh, God bless you. Kimberly and I will be on the air tomorrow. Take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in